And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yes! Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory along with my two fellow tribe members. Two guys who can jump very high in sandals, Trey Kirby and JD. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
I could jump higher than Mo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
JD, yeah. No problem.
Confidently, yes.
That was fascinating.
What an episode.
It was a weird way to jump.
She's like, I got to push with my legs. She knew that part of jumping, you know, one of the key parts.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
But up and not out
was
the problem.
But in the end, it was sort of... all a waste.
Just walk.
Just walk right off. Jump off that platform right into the water. We are here to recap episode 4 of Survivor 46, titled Don't Touch the Oven. Shout out to the live tribe joining us right now on YouTube. We love to see that. Take a second. Smash the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Share the show. Podcast listeners, leave no buffs a 5-star rating and review. Helps us in terms of other people finding this Survivor recap show. You can do that on your Apples and your Spotifys and your Podbeans and wherever you download and listen to the show. JD, it's great to have you back. We missed you for episode 3.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
But you missed a good one, if we're being honest. You missed one where a guy had to go home because of a medevac.
Yeah, usually I say 100% of the time I'll say it's a great time to get in, but god damn, if you jumped in these last two episodes.
Bad time.
Very bad time to jump into Survivor.
Yeah, we gotta hope this season gets going here.
Maybe now is the great time to get in.
Yeah, now I feel like now is a great time to get in.
Okay.
For real.
I agree with that. Trey does as well. But let's break down episode 4. This one bounced around a lot, so we'll try our best to go through this scene by scene. But we pick up right where we left off from episode 3, and that is Yanu, the Purple Tribe. They're pumped about not having to go to tribal council.
Sure.
Kenzie says this could be the turning point. It wasn't.
not the turning point.
Banu then decides to come clean and tells Tiff and Q about the info he spilled on the journey. A fascinating decision by this guy. You know, he just is so honest that he decides he has to tell them, I basically buried all of you when I went on this journey. Yeah. Kenzie, I called you the mastermind to these people I don't even know. Tiff and Q, I said, oh man, you'll never vote against each other. You're a power duo. Just a weird decision in a game riddled with strange decisions from Banu.
He literally spilled the beans about spilling the beans. Come on, man. That's a double bean drop. And he almost had it. He almost had it for a second there. If he would have stopped the Kenzie part, I told them Kenzie's the mastermind. I think that would have been music to Q and Tiff's ears.
Totally.
Wow, nice move.
Interesting. Thank you for doing that. We were actually going to take her out at the last tribal council before Randon got sent home. Maybe us three can work together. We can get Kenzie out. But then he just kept talking.
Yeah. And then he goes, did I say something wrong? Oh, my God. How many times over the last couple episodes, JD, did you go, what are you doing, man?
Oh.
Are you doing a bit? Like, is this a bit he's doing? He's a super fan.
Listen,
this guy's watched every episode of this show. And it's like, calm. What is he going? Oh, I don't get it.
Near the end of the show last night, it felt like I was watching a Survivor parody. It's like, hey, we're going to do a parody about the show Survivor, and let's let's have a character who's the worst player that's ever played the game, and let's hire the worst actor ever to play the worst player ever on Survivor. And that's what I felt like I was watching.
Yeah.
Like, it was so, everything is so over the top. He's like, He reminded me of so many things. It's like a Data from fucking Star Trek. I don't understand human emotions, but play by Urkel. You know what I mean? Like, just completely, just like, I have no words really. It it's a slap in the face. I was angry about it. Yeah, like, it just know. Like the, this guy has no business being on Survivor. Now, let me clear my throat about this. He seems like a nice guy, right?
Absolutely.
He seems like they liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, the guy, like you say, he says he's a super fan, but...
I can't believe that.
Come on. Come on. Before the show, I said, it's like having a basketball super fan, and then you put him on an NBA team, and he doesn't know what a free throw is.
Yeah, great analogy. Kenzie also says here in the opening scene about Banu, of course, why did he even come out here? He could have just gone camping.
Yeah.
That just made me laugh. We've titled the episode that, should have gone camping. He probably should have in the end, because wasn't built for this game,
no.
Despite being a super fan. But just because you watched every episode doesn't mean you are, you know, going to be a good player.
You're going to have to tell a lie at some point.
Yeah.
And he seemed physically incapable of telling a lie to literally anybody for more than 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah,
that's a problem on Survivor.
And also incapable of being lied to. Like, it just completely devastated if any deception came his way. Like, I don't know.
It was a rough 9 days for Banu. but we're still on day 8 here. He is up and he is praying to his God for some Survivor help. And I will admit, this whole episode, especially as we get later on, and we have the other three people in his tribe saying, I am voting for Banu. I am voting for Banu. I'm voting. Before that last commercial break, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, he's going to, like, play his shot in the dark
100%.
And hit it, and God will be listening to this guy, and he will avoid going home. And then I'm reminded later on, oh, my God, he doesn't even have shot in the dark because he's got no vote. I'd completely forgotten that.
Yeah.
But at this point in the show, I was like, oh, man, this guy, we're getting so much of this, of him talking to his God for some help out there.
God was listening. He's like, yeah, man, I sent somebody home and almost paralyzed them last week. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. He's like, I've done my part. This is God talking to him. I helped you, man. Yeah, that's a good point. Tree mail time. We learned that the challenge is going to be for food. We get a fun scene here of Soda and Tevin. Doing like an incredible sort of gospel-like song, and Survivor had some fun with this in the edit, JD, giving us a complete musical track backing.
Composers went to town.
Thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was great.
Thought the lyrics were, I mean, it felt like they're off the dome there for Soda. It was sort of catchy.
100%. It was great.
Okay, good.
I also liked Venus sweeping. She was sweeping the tribe, sweeping up camp during the song. Gotta keep it clean out there.
We also check in then with Siga and Jem, who is leading her tribe to the Beware advantage in the wrong spot, of course. Maria finds it and then drops it immediately because she sees it's a Beware advantage, but then she picks it up, reads it. It says, hey, start digging right here. And they get to digging. They hit some black ants. You know, Jem this whole time is sitting there just, suckers, I gotcha. And we hear even right here, because I know it comes up later, like somebody, I don't know if it was Ben or Tim, it was tough to see who said it, but like somebody wonders, well, what's going on here? We're not finding anything. Yeah. Did somebody already find this?
Under the tree.
Yeah, did this get planted? So they were, you know, I don't know how quick it was, but they were on to this. What do you think about this move? I mean, it's like sort of like a, it's just like to waste time and...
It made for a funny scene.
Yeah.
I think it was nice for Jem that she was able to turn it towards somebody else. Like, a weird thinking, I thought, from the tribe to be like, that guy's digging the most. Ergo, he already found it.
Mm.
Yeah, you would think the opposite.
The person who's standing from the back and watching everybody dig, that would have been the person I had my eye on personally. Yeah. But is this going to blow up in her face? Like, what's... What is she getting from this besides watching the people get bit by ants, which was pretty funny?
Do you want to take a stab at the answer there, JD? Because it's a great question. What is she actually getting out of this?
Well, it's a distraction, and they think that there's an idol there, and they're not looking elsewhere on the island. But you're right, 100% right. Like, there's really... I guess she's actually hidden the box, so there's no chance that they're going to find the box that she's hidden,
right.
I suppose. But yeah, I mean... This is my nightmare on Survivor, doing a confessional like Maria did.
Mm-hmm.
like, knowing, hey, I found something, and but it's not. You know what I mean? Just the whole audience, the whole world knows in your face, Maria. It's not. You're just finding poisonous, vicious ants.
Yeah. Well, now, we've confirmed, or we think, Maria, she doesn't think she doesn't have a vote, right? Because
right.
That part of the whole Beware Advantage was on the box.
The scroll.
So obviously the gem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think so.
That would be really wild. Imagine she's like, well, I opened the Beware Advantage. Yeah. I guess I don't have my vote now.
I wonder if it'll come up. Like them talking. Do you have your vote? Don't you usually lose it? They could ask her.
Yeah. We'll see if this blows up in Gem's face. It could be, it honestly could be nothing because they got to give us something from this damn tribe. Don't worry. We'll get to them jumping later. learning to jump.
They've had this. They've had learning to jump, and they've had naming Taylor Swift songs an idol hunt that had happened 4 days prior.
Right. So maybe it's nothing.
What's going on in the Green Tribe?
Yeah, exactly. But we do see next time on Survivor, it looks like Tim is asking Jam about this whole Beware Advantage and do you already have it type thing. Seems to be something that will be coming up. So.
Right. I mean, we'll if it does blow up in her face, which I kind of think it's going to, she doesn't come off as believable to me as a viewer at home, you know? Like, she's like, I mean, I'm sure it's the way it's edited, but seems very shifty. It's like, yeah, it must be that guy who's digging a lot. You know what I mean? Like, she's not a great...
Yeah,
doesn't seem to
but
be
in
great
her defense,
letter.
She didn't even come up with that theory that it was Tim.
No, fair.
It was Mo, I think, right?
Fair enough. But if they find out it was her, it's like, why'd you have to put it where all the vicious, stingy ants are?
Well, we've learned since that might be an old poop spot.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Carla
said that was their old shitting tree, I guess. Maybe that's why it's populated with ants. I don't know.
Maybe. It's very, very good for ants. The poisonous kind.
Like, we've seen Survivor players, sort of half-assed think a stick was an idol.
Right.
Could someone play a turd and hand it to probes?
I mean,
Jeff, I'm playing this piece of shit for myself.
It's literally in play. It's in play. If somebody finds it, wait a minute, this could be something.
Look how craggly it is.
Exactly.
We'll see. Pretty
petrified by then.
Yeah.
But shout out to the tree. The poor tree is being de-rooted, basically.
Yeah,
it's coming apart at the roots.
Yeah. Yeah, they're digging, man.
They dug so deep and so far that they could stop and put a camera in the hole.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. We got our answer.
Keep
yeah, yeah. How far would you dig? Like, in all honesty, you're out there. It says it's there. I mean, at a certain point, you go, it's not.
Yeah,
like, it's not here. But I don't know what that point would be. I think I'd go a couple feet too.
Yeah, a couple feet for sure. But then eventually, what is happening is which like Jeff wouldn't do this to us.
Jeff would never do this to us.
I mean, he's a bit of a dick, but he's not this much of a dick.
That's a good point.
Come on.
Let's go to day 8's reward challenge. Siga does learn about Randon being pulled from the game due to a pinched nerve. I was wondering this last week. I meant to bring this up. They obviously go and tell Yanu, like, you're not going to Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. But I was like, did Probe swing by Siga as well?
Yeah.
The answer was
not.
No. And so they show up and they see, whoa, hold on. They're counting all the Yanu people still there. And then they see that Randon is out. We learn that the winner will get 10 decent-sized fish.
Wow.
Why do they keep saying this? I don't know. But I sort of like it now.
They're not little, okay?
No. And a bamboo cooker with instructions.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I got that written down correctly.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Runner-up 5. Decent sized fish.
Right.
And right here we see, I think it was Q to somebody on the tribe, Yanu saying, we're gonna have to trade that fish if we win this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have fire.
We can't cook fish.
I sort of like when they slipped that in, I was like, oh, they're winning.
Right.
They're at least finishing top two here. This is why we're getting this. So Venus sits for Nami, Mo and Ben sit for Siga. As for the actual challenge, you know, it's fine. It was fairly normal. Tim flipped over the damn platform,
mm-hmm.
holding the key, and was like underneath it, and then pretty amazingly popped it back up.
Yeah, it was like he was doing slapstick. That's pretty funny.
Really?
Great line from Jeff Probst on that one. Tim takes a big dump.
I'd like to play this, Jeff.
I was like, hold on, I gotta write that down. Pause.
So we had Maria then struggling, throwing the ring sort of up and off the pole. Did like the the little wrinkle of everybody has to do it.
Yeah, me too.
I like that within
I like
challenges.
It a lot.
You know, you're only as strong as your weakest link
mm-hmm.
in some of these. I like that. And then Q and Yanu, they win their first challenge. Hunter and Nami finish second, and Probst gives then Yanu the option to just trade their fish in for a large toolkit and a tarp, which was the previous award. I was like, what? I don't know how I felt about that, in all honesty.
You can always trade.
Yeah, I thought when Yanu said it, and maybe he was meaning this, like, we're going to have to trade it with another tribe. We win this, we might have to turn to the losing tribe and be like, hey, you guys want to give us something that you have for these fish? Play it like that way. I didn't realize that Probst would just be like, now, you don't have fire. You have really sucked in this game, but... So we won't give you the fish. These are very decent-sized fish. We don't want to go to waste.
So decent. Right.
So we'll give you something else. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. It's sort of like a couple of seasons ago, it came up. Like, it was like, oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
Remember? And then, so now I guess it's sort of like canon or whatever. Like, you can trade for whatever your previous prize is.
Yeah. Why couldn't
But that? But like, let's get some bargaining happening. It's like, I could... If you give me those fish, I'll give you Flint. You know what I mean?
Something like that. Yeah.
Like,
and did one of the other tribes go, well, what are you going to do with those fish?
Yeah.
Jeff, we'll give you. What do you want for them?
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's go. Let's try
something in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Could they have at least asked for their Flint?
Yeah.
I would have rather had that than a tarp.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. Tyson says a tarp is the most important thing.
Yeah, maybe. They've been getting rain.
Yes.
They could have eaten, though.
You're right.
Had a fire.
Or say, hey, we'll take five fish and our Flint.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do something.
Let it up.
Yeah. Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
Isn't Boston Rob on Let's Make a Deal now?
He is.
Deal or no deal?
Deal or no deal island, I think.
Yeah. Right? I'm not watching a second.
I have not dipped into that.
But I know he's on it. Okay, so let's just sort of move through the fish parts of the episode here. Nami, day 8 fish, I wrote in my notes. Liz is allergic to all of the fruit and the coconut, so... She's very excited about the fish,
as you would be.
And then Tevin asks if he can clean the fish. His dad taught him how to do this when he was younger. His dad recently passed away. I think it was 10 months ago, he said. So it was a cool little scene. Got a little Tevin backstory.
Great moment.
That was cool.
Totally choked me up. Not even a single tear off that guy.
No, in his confessionals. Yeah, you're right.
You know, and just so at peace with it.
Yep.
And just the joy of doing this task that he had done with his father.
And he had said, like, he had put off a couple times to go fishing. And at first it was like, oh, do you don't have a good relationship with him?
Yeah.
But then you learned, oh, it's not that.
I know.
It was just like life and like, we'll do it again next time or whatever. And that he regretted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
Smash cut to Banu on the other side of the island, and then it's just this guy's freaking out over nothing. But this guy's so stoic. I mean, stoic. I don't know if it's just like just my age or my generation of just respect, man. I'm like a Tony Soprano of the island, you know, like just respects the strong, silent type.
Yeah.
And just so eloquent as well. I don't know. That one got to me.
That was the best kind of flashbacks, backstory when something actually happens in the game that completely relates to somebody's home back off the island. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe Q has coached up Tevin about training his emotion and training his speech and stuff like that.
Coach Q.
Yep. Yeah, maybe. Because that's where we go next. Q is trying to coach up Banu here. He's trying to literally teach this guy how to play Survivor right here on the spot on day 8. And this was funny to me when they were role playing.
Oh my God.
They're role playing tribal council. And Q is Jeff Probst. And Banu is playing Banu. And it was amazing.
We're just like vibing.
Yeah.
Just like vibing.
No wonder.
Just say we're vibing, man. Just say we're vibing. Whatever you say.
And then Q says something. And then Banu doesn't know if he's still being Probst or if he's Q.
He's like, perfect. Was that Q or was that Jeff Probst? He's like, that's Jeff Probst.
This is what you mean, I think, JD, by where this felt like a parody of Survivor.
Oh my God,
like, that scene feels like something you would write.
Exactly. Directed by Tommy Wiseau, right? Like, he's just like,
hi, Mark.
He almost, yeah, totally.
Hi, Jeff.
I thought I detected him sort of take on an accent in a deeper voice. We're just vibing out here, you know, like C-3PO movements. Oh my God.
It was so good. But then, I mean, okay, that's going okay. Sort of trying to learn. Like, God bless Q for showing some patience and you know, heaven forbid they have to go there again, and, you know, it takes some tips. But then they're at the shelter, and he's like, this one was weird. Like, Kenzie snapped at him.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost fair, though, because Bonnie was like,
100%.
I don't even, what was he asking? He was just like begging for mercy.
Hat in his hand, will you help me, Kenzie? It's just like.
She's just lying there. Like, she was like, she even said, can we just enjoy the one celebration, the one win we've had for 1 second, man?
Yeah. Also, like, I'm starving. Fuck off, man. Yeah, like, just honestly, fuck. Like, as she said it in her confession, it's like, I got to teach this guy how to, you know, interact with people. And it's just, I don't know. I was like, Kenzie, that would be me. 100%.
Yeah. So he takes off. Bonnie does. He's pretty flustered over this. We'll come back to that. Meanwhile, though, at Sega, the tribe is talking about the challenge. They are trying to build up Maria's self-esteem because, you know, she really, really struggled on getting the ring off there. We get some of her backstory about her family coming from Lebanon. You know, this flock of Sega, like, they're a team, man. Like, they're
vibed up.
They are. Yep. Yeah. You talk about vibing. They are all vibed up. And then we go back to the Beware Advantage hole. They're like, literally, like, should we just go back to the hole?
Go again.
Back digging again. And this is where we get sort of Charlie, Ben, and Mo starting to think this is not actually buried here. They're all starting to bring it up. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Mo tells Jem that maybe Tim planted it. This was what you alluded to earlier. And they relay that info to Maria. And so, you know, maybe some... You know, this might work out really well for Jem.
Sure.
At least eyes being and fingers being pointed in Tim's direction because he's digging a lot.
This guy's digging too much.
Yeah, yeah. Any notes from Sega? We hardly know you.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But, you know, I feel like it's going to blow up in Jem's face. Okay. But that's just my gut.
Okay. Back to Yanu. Banu is down in the dumps. He feels like, and I wrote these all down, a stupid ass, a dumb dumbo.
That was a great line.
And a puppet. And eventually Kenzie decides I should go and apologize to him. Right. You know, JD, would you have done that? It sounds like
yes.
Maybe.
Yes. Wow, I would. Of course I would apologize.
Once you chilled out a little bit, had a fish or two.
Plus you never know.
Oh, wait, they don't have fish. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they don't have any. Oh, they didn't eat. Yeah. Exactly.
Tarp. Yeah. On a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
Okay, but you would have went.
Of course you have to. Well, just on a human level, I'd feel bad. Mm-hmm. The guy, you know, he's an innocent guy. Like, he's just, he's a sweet guy. You know, later on in the episode, he's on his knees to Tiff, and I would be the same way. Like, get up, man. I like it, you know.
That was when it was at its most awkward.
Right.
I was, like, applauding Tiff for saying, get up.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not doing this. And then eventually told him, you know, what was the plan, her plan at least, which was, you know, he needed to hear, I think,
right.
In all honesty. But when he was groveling and begging and on his knees, that was where I was like, this guy, I hope he's going home. Yeah. Like, this is getting out of control,
totally.
Man. This is two episodes now.
This is
three hours. Yeah. Too much.
Was this before or after he was just laying flat? No,
this was before. Yeah. Yeah. When he's just a shot of him in the middle of a path, just lying there.
Take me, jungle. But also, I did like that as soon as Kenzie comes and apologizes, like the most basic apology, but she sold it very well, and he was instantly like, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back.
No. The guy's wearing a shirt that says, be kind, man.
Yeah.
Now, I think you could throw a G on there. There's a lot of begging from this guy.
Right.
So you could go beg kind. But he is a sweet guy. You know, I know we're poking fun at him here, but I'm happy he's gone.
Right.
But I'm not upset he was here. You know, it was maybe too long. It was a little bit too much being the 2 hours because of what he should have just been gone last week.
Yes.
Right.
That's
what we got into this situation.
Right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
NAMI, day 8. It's laundry day. They're rounding up articles of clothing.
Have we seen this before? Like washing clothes in the pot they eat out of.
I don't know.
I think we have. Yeah, over the years.
I heard on Tyson podcast, that's one of the things they teach them in survivor school.
Oh.
Before they go on. They're like, if you're going to wash your clothes, wash them, boil them. And he said, we never did that, and I would never do that because it's disgusting. You use the same pot for your rice and your beans afterwards. Just go wash them in the ocean and set them out because sunlight kills germs.
Oh, there, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was kind of gross.
I was like, ugh.
Fair. Want some undie beans?
We got then a supercut of Soda checking in with everyone. And she's playing this game hard. She's like pleading her allegiance to everyone, doing the whole, you know, you and me to the end type of thing. Just what most good Survivor players do. But Tevin has picked up on it, and he doesn't seem to like how she's playing. Now, I think a part of it is like, wow, damn, she's playing exactly like me.
Yeah,
damn. And she's pretty good at it. And maybe this island is only big enough for the one of us. We, you know, we theorized that last week. So then Tevin goes to Hunter. Hey, maybe we if we go to tribal council, maybe we get rid of Soda. Hunter's like, hell yeah. He's like, this is great for
me. He can't stand her. Yep.
He doesn't seem to like her that much. At least we've known from the singing and all that. And then he also says, I'm tight with Tevin. I thought Soda was really tight with him, so better for me that we get rid of her, for me and Tevin's game moving forward. They rope in Liz. She seems on board. She's like, send me your emails. No problem. We'll make this happen. Just start a little email chain, keep correspondence.
Yeah, email me.
And they all seem on board voting Soda out. So we'll see here. I mean, they obviously don't go tonight in this episode to Tribal Council, but Tevin, Hunter, and Liz, is this game short for Soda?
I don't know. She's good. I feel like there's a shakeup coming as well, right?
Yeah.
So there's that.
This one tribe can't avoid tribal council.
I mean, all of this is sort of like simmering, bubbling, like their socks and undies in the pot, you know. The shit hits the fan when they actually have to go to tribal council.
That's exactly right. We have two tribes.
We'll see what happens.
We have two tribes where we have no idea where really anyone lies.
Right.
We hear what they tell each other and what they tell us at times, but until they vote, you haven't really played Survivor, as they say. So, well, let's go to day 9 with Siga. Mo tells us in a confessional, her friends told her, my God, you're going on Survivor. Oh, my God. Homegirl can't jump. It's going to be an issue. And
what a line. Homegirl
can't jump. I'm going to have to come clean.
So tells them.
I went, like, if she's like, hey, just to let you know, I can't jump. I wouldn't even register. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You can't jump. I mean, sure. Nobody can, like, some people just can't jump high, but.
Because they did get the tree mail that said it made it allude that there was going to be some jumping off of things, or they got there in their mind.
Right.
So they thought there was going to be some leaping. I believe they thought jump off the platform, got to grab the key or smash the key.
Right.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
And it was like, oh, yeah, you sort of got
to
jump.
You do. You do, actually.
Yeah, it does look tough.
For sure.
Now, so they decide, all right, let's do some jumping lessons.
Yeah.
And Charlie literally trying to teach her how to jump. And I cannot say it was going all that well, but man, this was a funny ass scene to me. I was laughing so hard him trying to teach her. And then they had just like a stick.
Yeah.
Like, because they were trying to replicate what they thought the challenge was going to be. Run, jump, and, you know, get high enough. Yeah, get some air.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're all laughing. It was fun because they're laughing at her a little bit, and like they're all making, and she's taking it in stride, obviously. But any thoughts on the jump scene?
Yeah, it was good. It was also hilarious to see it pay off in the immunity challenge when you're like, oh, you didn't have to jump at all. You just had to be able to walk forward and you'd be fine. Yeah. But it just shows you they're locked in together. They're going to be devastated when they actually got to vote somebody off. Yeah. It feels like they actually like each other, because that could have easily been a scene where you're getting reactions similar to Hunter. Like when Soda and Tevin are singing earlier, they throw in that split second scene of him just hanging his head.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have gotten that from somebody on the Green Tribe being like,
oh my God,
this girl can't jump. What are we going to do? And basically it was more like, well, we'll teach her to jump.
Well, and Ben going, oh, jump? Oh, I've got a reference for that.
Well, that would have blown opportunity for a needle drop. Like, I mean, we've heard actual songs on the show before. That's worth it. For that? You got Ben on that tribe. He won't stop talking about David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
You gotta play jump.
Yeah.
You have to.
Maybe they tried. And
go to Crisscross then. Or
Busta Rhymes.
A lot of songs about jumping, huh?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
We're missing a couple others, too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, needle drops. We need more of them on Survivor. Yeah.
All right. Funny scene from Sega there, trying to teach a woman how to jump.
For no reason.
It's weird to think about, like, trying to teach a grown-up how to jump.
Oh, my God.
Just push their legs really hard.
I was last night trying to teach my goddaughter how to throw a Frisbee. She's 8 years old.
Okay.
You know, she's, you know, not the most athletic kid I've ever seen. So she's a little, like... You know, just robotic and like not, you just want to like,
it's a weird thing. Yeah.
And it's funny. Like, you're like, okay, watch me. Okay. Now do this. And then she watches intently. And then you're like, okay, you try. And then it's like, not even close to what I was doing.
Right.
I'm like, I'm also like, look where you're trying to throw the frisbee. She's like looking off, like backwards. Nope. It's weird. Yeah.
You gotta turn your body.
She got a couple.
First two times, literally the first two times I ever played catch with a Frisbee. With Isla, she threw it to me fine. I threw it back to her, threw a perfect one, hit her right in the face.
Yeah.
Months later, we tried again because she was upset. She got hit in the face the first time. Exact same thing happened. Ooh. Right in the face.
Oof.
Frisbee, tougher to learn than you would think.
Look, it's not, there are grown people that can't throw a Frisbee.
Sure.
So I wasn't like, what are you doing? You suck. Yeah, yeah. But it was more just like, it reminded me of that Mosi. It's like the mechanics. Some people sort of have it, some people sort of don't. And it's very difficult to describe it to someone.
Right, totally. Totally. Anyway. Well, it's kind of funny looking at the Sega tribe. Like, we got Maria who struggled with that ring. Like, she was the only one, it seemed, who struggled with the ring.
Yeah.
And then on the same, Moriah is on the same team. Yeah. She can't jump. Like, they're not using their legs very much over there, I guess, but they keep winning.
They keep winning.
It's crazy.
Anyways. It's true. You look at the tribe, and they do not look like a powerhouse tribe by any means.
No.
We got guy yelling Taylor Swift jumping off, and Tim's like going over with platforms, and like,
they're crushing.
They're crushing it.
They never lose.
Yeah, that's all vibes, maybe.
Maybe
they are all on the same page for sure. All right, day 9, the immunity challenge. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump off crates, or at least climb that ladder and then leap off it. You gotta release some buoys. You gotta throw the balls into the nets. We've seen all parts of this challenge before. So Sega sits Jen and Maria. Nami sits Tevin, and I mean, well, I saw Dalton Ross write about this too. My one note was, why would you ever run this challenge in shoes? Three guys in shoes.
I don't get it.
I hate being in water in shoes.
Same.
It weighs you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. There was no reason to wear shoes in this challenge either, unless you were worried about a splinter or something.
Yeah. I mean, you are climbing up stuff, and it is.
The ladder, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm the same way. There's no fucking way I'd be wearing shoes. If I had the option, I'd definitely not.
I saw somebody in jean shorts. It seemed bad, too.
John Cena. There. Hunter, a damn beast in this thing. That jump was unreal.
Yeah.
That jump made me start going like, oh, I wonder if they're going to have to like start moving the platform even further.
Right.
He was far away. Like, he was still a couple feet short, but I mean, he jumped very, very far.
That was a far jump. That was nicely done.
That was impressive.
I didn't hear what grade Jeff gave him. I know he gave somebody a 5.5 eventually.
Man, you see a lot of crazy dives into the water, don't you? There's a lot of belly flops, face flops, a lot of like holding their nose to go in the water, but then releasing it before they're even close.
Yeah,
to
that was Venus. That was
fascinating.
That was a cinematic. She takes a big run, and then it's slow motion. That, you know, they save those for like the hero shots, but she's like holding her nose, and then she, I don't know, remembers she's on TV maybe, and is like,
No, I think it's the. You know, they're quite high.
Yeah.
So I think it's like suddenly like, oh, crap. Like
right.
The idea of I want to brace myself.
I'm also scared
of this. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So then the water shooting up your nose unless you're blown out.
Yeah. People, you don't have to hold your nose. Like, you just don't have to do it.
No, you don't. But some people.
I know. They're uncomfortable in the water.
Salt water gets up there and gets, you know, flustered.
Yeah. You know what? Like. Maybe I'm just mad at Banu. I'm not mad at Banu. I'm mad that he was cast because he's just not right for Survivor. Now I'm sort of starting to go like, you know what? If you hold your nose going in the water, you're disqualified. You're disqualified.
Not bad.
It's a test.
Yeah, it's a test.
No. You got to jump. You got to be able to jump and you got to be able to get in water without holding your nose.
More than 3 inches and you got to be able to jump into a body of water and not hold your nose. Okay.
I mean, yeah, to be honest, like when you are holding your nose, you're more likely to belly flop and, you know, so it's better TV, I guess. But also, I don't know. I just feel bad for these people. And those are high jumps, right? So
That first jump, very high.
It looked big.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Banu messes up by not climbing up the second box, the second little crate.
Yep.
That was weird.
He also kind of danced around it a little. It's like, oh, like who put this here kind of thing. And Jeff was furious with
him. As he should be, because he actually went and unreleased the buoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Probst like it's too late. The guy's in the water already diving under.
Ever yell at anyone when they're under the water? Yeah. It's pointless.
But again, this guy's watched every episode of Survivor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get it. You're in the heat of the moment. A little brain fart, a little brain fog. You want to try and win from heaven forbid because you probably are going home if you don't. But like, huh? What'd you think? Just get up on there and just stand beside the thing that's higher and jump? I don't know.
Be fair to Banu, it's blocked, right? So while he's waiting, whoever went before him, you can't see. You can't see the smaller one.
See. That's true.
Right? So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
people mess up occasionally.
He went back. Okay. So then we get to the shooting platform part. Tim, this guy in platforms, makes a bold choice, I thought, to jump from, you know, the main sort of stage over into the shooting platform.
Yeah.
Now, he was wearing shoes. So maybe that helped him out. But I was like, holy man, I could have gone poorly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he kept his balance.
He could have slipped. I guess if he was, well, anyways, it was wet. So he definitely could have slipped backwards. That could have been bad.
Yeah. But he held his balance and, you know, he starts, you know, battling by shooting. So we have Hunter going with the Rick Barry underhand style. You know, he's practiced it.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed it. Bang, 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 basically. I mean, maybe he missed, but the edit was like, whoa, this guy's...
Yeah.
Tevin yelling, Michael Jordan!
Michael Jordan!
What did he say? Like, if he gets... Wait till he gets to the balls, it's over.
Don't let Hunter get his hands on those balls!
He straight calls it. Just crush the other two. And Q and Tim, yeah, they're going overhand style. They're going like an actual basketball shot. There's no doubt you should go underhand on these.
No doubt.
Maybe it doesn't look as cool, but you're going to get more arc and you're going to just probably get a better feeling.
Especially with it being low. Like, I understand maybe if you need to put a little more sauce on it to shoot it over your head, but the granny shot seemed to be the way to do it. So, like, Hunter is dominating every challenge.
He is crushing these.
Which is, like, the only reason that Yanu won in the reward challenge was that all four people had to do something, right? Like, it couldn't just be Hunter chucking the rings over and it's done.
Yeah.
So maybe they should do that going forward where everybody's got to make something or one of these shots.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that Hunter, he doesn't seem like the greatest challenge beast in the history of Survivor. Like, I don't think he's probably on Giant Jonathan's level. Right. I don't even know if he's on Ozzy's level.
Right.
But compared to these people, he's literally Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
Right. Yeah, he feels like Ozzy out there to these other people for sure.
I agree.
He is dominant in these things. And like, we haven't seen anything he can't do yet. He's got, like, the touch. I guess we haven't... Has he been on puzzles? I don't really know if we're even including that, because that's sort of a different version of.
He did get like early entry into medical school, so he's probably a smart guy, and he built a billion puzzles in his house.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So he's really good at this stuff.
He's totally good. Wouldn't it have been great if Tevin had said, Rick Barry instead?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, like, Rick Barry style.
Nice deep cut there.
I saw that on the Andy Griffith Show.
You get beat by a grandma. Tim and Q are there tied at two, so it comes down to the last one. Whoever can hit it first, and Tim nails it. Siga survives. Yanu will head back to Tribal Council. And again, as we go to commercial break, Kenzie, Tiff, and Q all telling us in confessional, we're voting Banu. It was, whoa. You don't get this often.
Yeah.
You usually like to go to that last commercial break or one of those last ones with a, well, I don't know where I'm going. Could be this. Could be that.
Yeah.
Not this one. other note from the immunity challenge, Jeff Probst, 3 Van Halen references.
Oh.
Might as well jump.
Yep.
Diver down.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody get me a doctor.
I think that was on a belly flop. That was a good line.
Wow. Man. So he's like been inspired by Ben here?
Oh, sure. He's got to be friends with David Lee Roth. I feel like they Probst? Would be buds. Or maybe he's a Sammy Hagar guy.
Well, yeah.
Probably Sammy Hagar.
He is a
actually.
Rocker.
Oh, hell yeah, he's totally. A rocker. I guess
okay, well, I just Googled Jeff Probst Van Halen, and something that comes up is Jeff Probst sang a Van Halen song with Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, he did. I saw the clip. I was nice. Going to share it with you guys.
Oh, my God. So, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst sings a Van Halen song with the Foo Fighters. That's weird.
Do you think, like, at the end of every season, Sia gives money to, like, someone she likes on the cast, mm-hmm. someone usually kind to animals, whatever. She like, picks who she likes to give it to.
Yep.
And she divvies it up yep. half the time. Could Van Halen come in here and be like, most musical references? and like, that's what Ben's doing?
Van Halen, we're chipping in this year, actually.
Wow.
I mean, they're trying to get Taylor to do it.
Yeah. Why not?
They're trying to get Taylor Swift into the show. I'll tell you that. Guy just yelling Taylor Swift jumping off the platform.
Come on, man.
I groaned at that one.
That was a groaner.
Yeah, that was, ugh. It was cringe. Why would you make your brand Taylor Swift or anything? Well, you know, I find it almost equally as cringe that Ben is such a rocker guy, but
he's endearing now. It's something very funny about everything the guy says about it.
Yeah,
but he's also a likable
it's
guy,
a lifestyle,
too.
Right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
then there's but there's also Nicolas Cage, so he's somewhat multifaceted.
Yeah, I guess.
you know what I mean? Yes. Faceted.
Yanu, day 9, so plotting and scheming. There's not a whole lot here. Banu, there was a shot of him. There's a lot of shots in this sort of penultimate scene before, you know, the final commercial break and when we go to Tribal Council. But he's like, they're all talking down at the beach, and there's a shot of like him like wandering out to the beach to like look down. And he's like looking down there, and Nora said, that's exactly what you look like when you're trying to see what the neighbors are doing.
you're
just like, yeah, just like, what's going on down there? Yeah. There's a mover truck down there. What's going on? You're just like, you don't want to go all the way, but you're like, I want to get an idea of what's going on down there. So, and then he's eavesdropping. Now, I don't do that with my neighbors on their conversation. And this is where I was reminded, or we're all reminded maybe. Oh, yeah. Not only does he have no vote, he cannot play the shot in the dark.
Right.
Which, again, I was like, oh, yeah. I thought God was going to answer your call for the second week in a row with a successful shot in the dark, but you don't even have one of those. So he looks for an idol. Where is this damn idol? There's more of your bad acting there, JD.
Yeah.
And we sort of went over it already, but, yeah, he's pleading to everyone. There's a part with Kenzie, and then there's this one with Tiff, and he's on his knees, and she's like, now get up. Get up, man. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this. I'm voting for you. And we get a shot of Banu lying down in the middle of a path. It had like had some coach vibes of when he was his final day there.
Yeah, all is lost.
Yeah, that's right. But that was like much further into the game. This is still very early, but before we take our final commercial break, Banu tells us, look, I know I'm going home. I'm just excited to tell my story at Tribal Council.
Right.
Basically, I'm just excited to talk to Jeff Probst.
Yeah. His guru.
His guru. So we go to night 9. It's Tribal Council, and I don't have a lot written down here. You know, we get asked about the journey and all that. But my question for you, Did Banu win your heart? In the end, four episodes of Banu on season 46, did he win your heart or no?
He lost my heart.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought Banu was okay for the first couple episodes, but back-to-back Banu goodbyes, that's too much Banu for me.
Too much.
I had to take my heart back.
Fair.
Same. JD? Absolutely the same.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, Jeff throws it to him at the end there is, to basically give him the opportunity to tell his story. His tribe mates hadn't heard his actual background yet. And I thought he did a decent job of, like, just eloquently saying, this is my background and I'm so grateful to be here, blah, blah, blah.
Which was, just to let people know, born into poverty to a teen mom, living in the streets of India, becoming the first member of his family to graduate high school, then get a graduate degree, obviously moving to America,
right,
and getting on Survivor. It's a pretty incredible story.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And it's the reason that he's on the show, because I obviously inspired Jeff Probst. They just forgot to ask him any Survivor questions or something. Like, you know, he just couldn't handle the game. And for me, it was just too little too late. Like, I was so annoyed by the guy. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, you know, again, everybody says the same thing. And it's true. The guy is a sweet guy. He just doesn't belong on the show. And by the way, the most frustrating thing for me is that I think that he actually had a move to make. Like, rather than curse God, have we ever seen that? Have we ever seen this on Survivor? I curse you, God.
I don't think so.
Why did you put me on Survivor? Anyways, yeah. You know, if he's going to grovel and, you know, just be the most pathetic person I've ever seen on the show, throw it in there like, look at me. I'm pathetic. I suck at this game. Take me to the end. I have no chance of winning.
Yeah.
And they're already paranoid of Kenzie, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the move. At least try that. You know, I'm not sure that they would go for it, but if you just sort of like try to stay. Try, do something, you know. Yeah.
Especially because the wheels were in motion.
Yeah.
To maybe blindside Kenzie. He knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to be voting for Kenzie.
He was going to be agreeing with voting for Kenzie.
Yeah, okay, sorry. That part. But
yeah. Do I think that it's the right... is it the right thing for them to take him and get rid of Kenzie at that moment? I do not. Like, because he is a liability. He cannot tell a lie. He would blow up anyone's game by accident. Seemingly, right? Like, he's just like, yeah, I'm voting for blank because Q told me to, you know. I could see that happening, you know. So, go ahead.
No, and the other thing, and again, something that Rob always brings up, he would, if he kept going in this game, he's just going to be taking a spot that is potentially yours,
right?
Because what you just said, well, why wouldn't we keep this guy around?
Yeah.
He ain't gonna win.
Yeah.
Yep.
He doesn't have a move to be made. He's like just here and he's camping basically.
Right.
And, you know, trying to figure out things. But that's then potentially your spot. It's
right.
Like, hey, other people want to keep him around. That's maybe bad for you, for some people at least.
Right.
So.
But yeah. Anyway.
But you're right. He didn't play.
He didn't play at all.
I understand this super fan thing. Like,
yeah.
He watched every episode, but did you absorb anything? Like,
no, I don't think so.
No, which, okay.
It was just like, that was great. Great episode. I love that episode.
I love it.
After every episode, you're like,
this was a great episode.
This
is a great show.
Yeah, you know, like you've said before, your kids just love the challenges in Survivor. I think a lot of kids that watch it probably do. Yeah. Maybe less so the, you know, the conniving and the plotting and all that. It's like, oh, people talking. This is boring.
Yeah.
Maybe he watches the show. He's like, ah, yes, two challenges in tonight's episode.
Two challenges.
I love this stuff.
Don't have to tell any lies.
Right.
Possibly. I don't know. So, yeah, a lot of people critical, JD, of someone so mentally and emotionally unprepared.
Yes.
Being cast on this show. Probst fires back at that. He disagrees. I think he said this on his podcast. Shout out to Dalton Ross for taking the notes. For my two cents, wrote Probst, if we had the chance to go back and do this again, I put Banu on the show instantly because that is the kind of authenticity that we are desperately seeking. And you said before we went live, you think this whole tribal council, really this whole episode of like, oh, Banu, 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 and getting to tell a story and all that was just like Probst going, hey, this is why I put him on, man.
That's what I think.
We are getting it in here for this guy. So there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, and I think that it is an interesting and inspiring story to a limit. right? Mm-hmm. As Trey said, two episodes of this was way too much.
Yeah.
Like, way too much.
They almost didn't do him any favors. The edit, probes. And again, the whole Randon getting medically evacuated changes. Like, if he goes home last week and, I don't know, then it's probably not as big a deal.
Right. But he wouldn't have gone home
after 1 week. After 1 week of it. Like, we heard the story twice.
Yeah.
They only heard it once because it was a tribal council, but we heard the same story back-to-back episodes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. Well, what's interesting, JD, no Randon injury. Yanu goes to tribal council last week. They blindside Kenzie. Now, I just would have been fascinating, a little sliding doors of like, would then he have chilled out a little bit? Because then, you know, he's a part of the plan.
Right.
Because his whole thing is like, he just felt like no one wanted to talk to Game about him. You know, Q talked to him, so I don't really know what he's talking about. But how would he have reacted, you know, had Kenzie gone home?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, he would have been happy, I think. Like, he's a guy that...
He would have been crying.
Right. He's a guy that only is as... You are only as good as your last interaction with him. It's like Trey mentioned, Kenzie was like dead to him. He was like shuffling around Charlie Brown style because she snapped at him. And then as soon as she apologized, all is good again, right?
True.
So, and you can't play with somebody like that. But yeah... It is an interesting thought experiment, I suppose.
Like, if Randon doesn't go home last week, does Banu
win?
Stay in this game for a long time? Does he win?
Does he win?
What happens?
Yeah.
Think he wins.
I don't think so, but...
I think he would have been around for a while. But that's like thinking that a tribe swap is coming, some sort of merge around the corner. Who knows? Who knows?
Do you think he was the person Jeff was talking about at the beginning of the season when he's like, one of you... cannot win. You will rub everyone the wrong way.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Maybe.
I don't know. They cast a character like Banu on other reality shows, right? Like somebody who's going to be entertaining at the beginning, but doesn't win. Like I remember they cast a guy on The Bachelor who all he wanted to do was every time they had him on screen, he would just go. Remember that guy, like Wahoo-Wah guy or something? He had like a crazy catchphrase that he would always say. They put him on, they're like, this guy's going to be funny for one or two episodes, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they did with Banu. They're like, we need a pre-merge character. There's always somebody.
No, you're right.
I guess. I just like... I find it so disingenuous when Jeff is sitting there and going, well, you're all saying that you're just going to vote for Banu. I find this intoxicating. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What's intoxicating is all the back channeling and the game that we've loved that you've cultivated, Jeff. Like this, like if you want to tell like cool stories about people coming up and having success in life, go start a new show. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we want the chess match. We want the challenges. We want the intrigue. We want the game. He's not playing the game.
Yeah,
so
he's not playing the game is the biggest problem.
That's the issue, really. I mean,
you want them to play chess. This guy doesn't know how to play chess.
Showed up with tiddlywinks, man.
Exactly. But again, he's watched 45 fucking seasons of people playing checkers or chess or whatever we want to call it.
Right.
That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the part that if this guy was like, just like someone was like, wow, you're a really nice guy. Wow, you got a pretty crazy story. Wow, you know, you like camping? Yeah, okay, you should go on Survivor. Like, you're a great energy.
Totally.
And he had never seen it. I would get it a little bit more. I can't get away from this super fan thing that he's nonstop talking about in his like post game interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Like what? How?
You know what? I just thought of something. This is my theory. He's watched all 45 seasons, but backwards. So he started
forty-four.
But he started new era. You know.
Yeah.
And then he just goes backwards. So it's the game gets actually simpler and simpler. And then the final season he watched was Richard Hatch winning, you know, and that was pretty, you know,
right.
There was like, they formed an alliance. That was the strategy, right? That was the one strategy on that show. So maybe
there's no
like,
idols.
There's no idols. It's just a simple, we're going to spend our day on the beach. We're going to walk around with the cocks out. And, you know.
You can definitely see Banu going the alphabetical voting method.
100%. 100%.
I love everybody here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be kind, but sorry, C is up next.
Yeah.
So I'm voting for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's my theory.
So you're saying Banu would have done really well on Survivor Season 1.
I think he would have made the merge.
He would have made
sure.
the merge. Yeah. All right. Nice. I agree with that. I agree
Seems
with that.
Seems true.
Okay, we got to take a break. My goodness, I thought this was going to be a quick episode. But we'll take a break. When we come back, little tree mail. Don't go anywhere.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, we're still here in the Classic Factory. Note from Heather here in the Live Tribe, joining us on YouTube. If Sia gives Banu money, I will be so mad.
Preach.
Wow. Oof. What's the earliest boot Sia's ever given money to a person? You know, did Bruce get a couple bucks?
Did she give money before the end? Is that a thing?
No, I mean the early, he goes forth. I don't know. Right. Like, I know she does divvy it up, but it's usually for people that go a little further and maybe don't win. I don't know, Heather. We'll see. I could see her giving Banu a little bit. He's Banu.
He's a sweet guy.
He's Banu. Okay, let's get into tree mail. Some good cues from everybody out there jumping onto Twitter/X and leaving some questions and comments. These first two sort of go hand in hand, but Matt B. writes, do you think Jeff would bring back Banu in a future season for a Survivor redemption story, or was his gameplay so bad that Jeff wouldn't even risk it a second time around? Will we see Banu again on Survivor?
Please no. I don't want more Banu.
I know you don't.
I don't
do you
want
think,
more Banu. I can't imagine him coming back. He did nothing.
Yeah. I tend to agree.
Yeah, I agree too. Although I'm second guessing now that I just heard what you said about Jeff saying just double downing and saying, I would put him
in there. Oh, Jeff trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
I saw something in this guy, damn it. Yeah. I say no, and here's a big reason why. You could, in theory, see him coming back if he was a beloved character.
Right.
A million hearts were won.
Right.
Do I think he won some hearts? I think some people out there liked him. I liked him for a time. But I think over this last one, his last 90 minutes of Banu, like you guys said, he lost your heart.
He lost my heart.
I think he's like a little bit more like, there's a lot more like, I'm happy he's gone than, oh no, not Banu. That's my guy.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little more difficult.
I agree with you.
Unless they swerved and made him a villain.
Bad Banu.
A motorcycle jacket. And like,
I'm bad Banu this time around.
Be a dickhead.
Be mean.
Okay. Bring it back.
Bad Banu would be so funny.
It's a great name for a band.
Bad Banu. It's going to be Sifu, Ben, and Jay Maya forming a band together. Bad Banu.
And then Bad Bunny starts getting into the show and he gives money. So no, we don't think so, Matt. Pete just wanted a comment here. Almost two full episodes spent on the worst player of all time. Horrible start to season 46. again, there's a lot of people that feel that way. Like Pete's thinking here, like, this is, you know, we said it. It's not the greatest start to a Survivor season. There's been a little too much Banu. Hopefully, Pete, you're sticking with it, and I think it will turn around here.
I think that, you know, I enjoyed the flame out of Jelinski in episode one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they burned themselves with Banu. We've been over that.
Yeah.
I think that the immunity, the beware advantage being the same on every beach burned them.
Yeah.
I wasn't here last week, but you guys were talking about how they flashed back 4 days to show when Jem found hers.
Yep.
I think the reason is because you can't show in, even if it's a 2-hour episode, people finding the same thing 3 times in a row.
Right.
Like, there is sort of an interest, like the cage thing was interesting because they handled it differently. And I guess they all handled it differently, but it's just too much of the same thing, you know? Like, I don't know what the solution is there, but, and I thought that doing the flashback 4 days ago and putting it in last week's episode helped. You know, I thought that was a smart editing decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, not much going on.
You think they just boxed themselves into a bit of a corner?
A little
here,
bit.
Early,
little
at
bit.
Least in the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder when a swap is happening or a shakeup, or, you know, they didn't tease it for next week.
Nope.
We're down to 3 people on Yanu.
So
there's 11 other people and 3 people on Yanu.
14, 2 tribes of 7. When do they switch it up?
I mean, they've done it. They keep us on our toes with that, and they're obviously trying to keep the players on their toes. That you don't know. They've done it very early before. They haven't. I don't know. We'll see.
They usually tease it though. They'll say, you know, drop your buffs.
Yeah,
they'll say, you know,
in the
tease, which they didn't do. So who knows?
Doug, always good for a couple questions. This was a fun one, I thought. March Madness themed Survivor question: who's your Cinderella? So who is an unlikely player who will make a deep run? Do you have a pick for a Cinderella Survivor pick?
Well, Cinderella means long shot at winning, and that basically leaves you with the Yanu tribe, since everybody else seems to be the favorite right now. We haven't literally seen anybody else vote.
Yeah.
I actually think Tiff could do okay.
I think so, too.
Yeah, okay.
She's got the extra vote advantage, I think, right? She's obviously pretty locked in with Q. It seems like those two are closer than Tiff is with Kenzie, than Q is with Kenzie. And we've seen a lot of times in the new era that when they get to the merge, the two tribes that haven't lost a lot, they go after each other, trying to get the leftovers from the tribe that's gotten stomped.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could obviously happen here. She's also pretty good in challenges. Like, Q's a Division I athlete, and he's not outperforming Tiffany hardly at all in these challenges.
No.
He'll mess up a few things, call her in, she does it right, and then they go back to Q.
That's true.
Yep.
Okay, so Tiff, Cinderella run. Want to pick someone else, JD?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Ben. I think you're right. He is growing on me. He's, you know, he's a bit of a cheese ball, but I think he's likable. I think, and just based on the rest of the cast, like, nobody, I mean, I love Tevin. I think he's a front runner for me. Hunter, obviously, you know, and also maybe Mariah. She can't jump, and she looks like she's been beat up, you know?
She's all scraped up.
But she seems to have a great spirit about her. Like, she never – nothing seems to bother her. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. Mariah or Ben.
Okay. My Cinderella, Jelinski. You heard it here first.
Bring him back.
Wow.
Here's why. This is a silly reason why. I was telling Trey this earlier. I always look at the next episode's title.
Yeah.
On the Wikipedia page.
Yes.
We'll get to it. Next week's episode called Tiki Man. Okay.
Okay, cool.
But then they have 6, 7, and 8 and the titles for the episodes. Episode 7 is titled Episode Several.
Wow.
Interesting.
I'm saying Jelinski's coming back. You can win your way back into the game. They're going to bring, maybe there's like another medical evacuation.
Okay.
Something really screws up with their plans.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll bring back all the people that have been voted out. And they have a little battle to get in. And I will pick Jelinski.
All right.
That's our Cinderella run. That's a 16th seed right there.
Wow.
Yeah. You heard it here first. All right. Okay. Remember this.
Jelinski.
You imagine Jelinski coming back and winning. Oh, never. Okay. Next one. Zachary. After Lulu last season and Yanu this season, do you think survivors should re-examine how they arrange tribes? Perhaps go to 2 tribes of 9. And what other suggestions do you have to avoid one tribe losing constantly? Zachary, always good for a couple questions as well.
Yeah.
JD, you started us off.
I'm going to go back to a point I made earlier. The nose hold test.
You think that's why these two tribes have lost?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I mean, just like that. Just if you take the time, like, look at a guy like Hunter, who has taken so much time and effort. You know, tell me you're single without telling me you're single, and get a shot of his house. That's the, you know, like, it's all survivor puzzles, sure, and stuff. Like, he's a true sicko.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, just if you know how to, if you're comfortable in the water, you're going to do better at challenges. It's that simple. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I guess, yes.
What I'm saying is, like, the quality of player, of, like, we got a woman who can't jump, but we got another woman who can't throw a ring over the pole.
Yeah, and their tribes are winning.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess.
So what do you mean exactly?
That blows that out of the water.
Here's a suggestion to try and, like, you know, basically what we're getting at is, well, if there's one tribe that just keeps losing, how can we, you know, sort of avoid that, right?
Right.
I mean, one way is just to go to two tribes again.
Yeah.
I mean, that can still happen, though. You can have one powerhouse tribe to another. But how about this? They obviously get to elect who they have to sit, and you can't sit in back-to-back challenges. Mm-hmm. What about the crappy team that can't win? Why don't they get to pick
who they
want to sit?
Ooh, I like that idea.
Hunter, you're out of here. Dude, you're out. You know, like, I don't know, sort of dynamics come into play too.
Yeah.
That person could be pissed off. You might be ruffling some feathers. I don't know.
I like that idea as an advantage, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that's a good advantage.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, you get to, like, take somebody out of something.
Yeah.
Do you like the idea of maybe going back to two tribes? Are you a fan of three tribes?
I think it's time to try it.
Just go back.
I agree.
All of these new era seasons feel pretty similar. So I think it's worth just changing something up. And it would have given us a chance for a blindside last night. So imagine there's seven people left in that tribe. Three of them maybe hate Banu. He obviously doesn't have a vote, but that would be an easy vote for everybody to get on board with. Maybe it ends up a 6-0 dog pile. Or maybe somebody says, this one's so easy, we could flip it right now. You know, it gives you less of a chance to hide, I do believe, in a tribe like that, rather than one tribe just getting stuck with people who can't win. Like, they have the best athlete on the show. They do.
Yeah.
Q. And they can't even, they won one challenge. So.
Yeah.
It was one where he didn't, was not allowed to take over.
Yeah.
You're totally right. When you're looking at the original breakdown of the tribes, I mean, on paper, it seems
looks like one of the stronger tribes. Absolutely. Even like when Jelinski and Jess were even there, like, I think when you line them all up, I don't think the producers and Probst thought, oh, Purple's going to get waxed.
No.
I think they probably thought the opposite.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, man, maybe we made this team a little too big, too strong. Like, Banu is very athletic, too. Like,
yeah,
weird. But we'll see. We'll see if they shake it up here. Also, I was thinking one other thing. Like, you imagine these were hour episodes? And on one hand, you'd be like, well, we got a lot of Banu, so I would have been happy with, like, an hour less. But we wouldn't know dick all about any of these tribes.
Yeah,
we were almost like lucky to get those 2 hour episodes because of like Amazing Race starting later and they had to fill the time slot. And then even these 90 minute episodes, at least as silly as some of the scenes are, at least we get to see them.
Right.
Learn their names.
There isn't there isn't a Heather this year, which is surprising considering. I mean, there's obviously people we don't know very well.
Yeah.
But
they've at least have time to go to them and see camp life, and
which is what we've been asking for. Since we've been doing the show, this is what we've been asking for. But it's just, I guess this is the thing with reality television. Sometimes it blows up in your face.
Yeah.
It's just bad luck.
Yep.
You know.
Brandon notes, we got a Survivor Leggy last night. Hunter had extra rings to knock that one down, and Jeff said he couldn't climb the pole. But listen to this hypothetical from Brandon. What if that was the last ring? What if that was the Leggy? They don't have any more rings. What do you do?
What do you do?
Probe says you can't climb.
Can you shake it? Shake the pole?
It didn't look like it shook much. I mean, maybe.
That would have been my first move.
Yeah.
Just jostle it.
I guess maybe that would work.
Other than that's like, get on my shoulders, probably, right? Like somebody stand on my shoulders, get up there and knock it off.
That'd be like
seemed
three
very high to me.
Three.
Yeah,
I was like, what else could they grab to throw up there? A shoe. Maybe. Who throws a shoe? It's a good point, though, Brandon, if that had happened.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a flex from Hunter, I gotta admit. Can I just climb it and get it down? I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, what a crazy suggestion.
This guy just goes up like Aussie style. Like, what? No, you can't do that. Why would you say no? It's like, wouldn't that have been cooler to see? Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't break your neck while you're up there. But all right. And final one here from Trent, a no dunks crossover. The only NBA players who have played Survivor have been big men. Scott Pollard, sending our best to him, by the way. I believe he's doing a bit better. And Cliff Robinson, RIP. Immediate threats based on size alone. Two big guys. I mean, these guys are giants. What current NBA player do you think has it in them to be the sole survivor? And I think what Trent's getting at here is maybe a little more normal-sized current NBA player that maybe can blend in a little bit more that could pass as just, maybe they could even lie about not being an NBA athlete.
Big game last night, Peyton Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows who Peyton Pritchard is.
Good one. Good one. He's probably super...
Six foot one, something like that. He's probably not, like, jacked.
No. But he's a professional athlete, so I assume he would dominate at most of these things.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, I like that one.
Okay.
You got anyone?
Lowry still in the league?
Kyle Lowry would be great. Kyle Lowry on Survivor
he'd
would be
so
amazing.
He'd be
amazing. That, like, he'd be funny.
Yeah.
And confessionals and angry, I think. That's a good one.
Is he recognizable? Do you think people would know Lowry?
I think one or two people would.
Yeah, I think he's, like, on the borderline, probably. Right.
But, like... Yeah, that's a good question. I guess Jalinski would have. He knows basketball.
Jalinski would have. Like, yeah, if you get the right guy.
Yeah. Totally.
I had Mike Conley on my list, but I'm like, he's been around a long time. Like, if you've watched basketball for a decade, you probably know Mike Conley.
Right.
I mean, most of those people out there, I do not think they know who Mike Conley is. I don't think.
Mariah doesn't know Mike Conley.
You're probably right about that.
I mean, that was, what was his name? The quarterback way back in the day.
Gary Hogeboom.
Nobody knew who he was except the one NFL fan.
Somebody did, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Danny Boatwright.
Right.
He's like, I think that's the former quarterback.
So. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know who he was.
Definitely not.
Now, that's a retired
player. Football
players
are different, too, because they're wearing helmets.
They got
helmets
a helmet
or,
on.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a good point. Okay, Peyton Pritchard, Kyle Lowry.
What about Tyler Hero?
Hero's not bad. He's not like a jacked guy either.
He's pretty tall, though.
Is he tall? Yeah.
I mean, he would tower over these people. Yeah. Isn't he like, I felt he was like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, he probably
is. That's Jalinski's size, so it's not.
Jalinski size.
My Cinderella coming back. Come on back.
I miss Jalinski, man. I miss him. Gone too soon. Sure, he quit every time he was in anything. And he shattered glass on a beach. But he was very funny.
Funniest story would be Jalinski somehow can win his way back into the game, but then quits again.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed my time at Ponderosa too much.
Yeah, I don't want to come back. Banu, you take it. Banu comes back in his place.
Thank you.
God is Jalinski. Jalinski is God. All right, great questions, guys. Thank you for sending in your tree mail. Make your picks. I did not have Banu going home. I overthought this one. I had Kenzie. I mean, I spread the wealth. I went all the tribes. I actually didn't think that Yanu, those sad sections shit, would get back there again. I thought they would avoid it, but I think I believe I had a woman in every tribe. But anyway, Manu goes home. Banu goes home. Did anybody wisely play him, pick him?
No. I got Banu. I was right.
Good for you.
I should have 2X'd him. A lot of people at the top of the charts 2X'd Banu last night, it seems.
Make your picks. Chris, that runs it, he did want to note that they did give credit, of course, to Q, Tiffany, and Kenzie for voting correctly, even though they didn't technically vote and write Banu's name down, because, as Chris said, they voted publicly by telling Jeff they were all voting for him, which counts for scoring purposes. I don't think many people are going to be upset with that ruling. But all that to say, what do you think about that Probst decision?
To not vote.
You know, a little weird, no?
By then, I was done with the episode, so it's like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I think they should have still voted just for the... You never know. You never know, right?
You never know.
You just never know.
Now, exactly. Like, I guess Probst would have been told by a producer or by someone like, hey, this is all a play here, right? Like, we gotta vote because, like, they're all lying. They're all incredible. They're manipulating you, man.
Right.
Like, you know.
Right.
So...
But there is,
I think they should have voted.
I think so, too. The whole point of tribal council is the ceremony of it. Like, the bring in your torches, your fire is life.
How
did
they know
the
he doesn't even have an idol? He's on the
journey.
Right. He could have been lying the whole time.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't lie, but yeah. It's all hypothetically possible.
Lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you also rob them of the satisfaction of getting rid of the guy that you've been trying to get rid of a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's why it almost felt like Jeff was handling it with like kids' gloves a little bit. And they're like, we got to let this guy go gently here. Let him tell his story.
Well, okay, though. Exactly my point. He has no business being on Survivor if he's too fragile to be voted off Survivor.
Well, I don't think he was. I think he would have handled it okay, but...
Yeah, well, that's weird, but... Yeah.
Next time on Survivor, it's called Tiki Man, okay?
Tiki Man.
Here's what we know.
Tiki Man.
Tiki Man, yeah. What will Yanu... I guess it's Tiff and Kenzie. One of them says, what will Yanu lose today? And someone says, our minds. And then there's like an evil laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Soda is looking for an idol. She is more worried, it seems, about whose hands it could fall into. And the edit shows us both Tevin and Venus when she's sort of saying this. Mm. And that there's an idol search going on. And then Tim asks Jem whether she found the idol already. And then there's like a cut to her running. Like frantically running and sort of looking back. Yeah.
Right.
That's all we know. Who's going home next week?
Oh, that's tough.
That's a tough one. Will Yanu actually avoid?
No. No Yanu. No Yanu
going
home.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Yanu's winning immunity.
First or second.
They're not going to tribal.
Okay.
We're getting somebody new.
Okay.
I agree with this.
But I am still putting Kenzie in my my vote outs.
Yeah.
Just play.
Just to spread it around.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, who's going to be going then? Do you think it's orange? Do you think it's more likely green? Is that why we're seeing Jem run? Is she running to, she's got to, if they lose, she's got to get her vote.
That's a good point.
And probably, the idol.
Yeah.
Could it be that?
Yep. Could be.
Could be. So who goes home from that? Is it Tim? Have enough eyeballs and fingers been pointed at him?
Put me down for Jem.
Wow. You think it blows up in her face?
I think they lose a challenge, then she scrambles to find the actual immunity idol.
Which didn't seem that hard. Tiff figured it out very quickly.
No, but rather than staying on the beach, they're a bit kumbaya over there. Mm-hmm. She's not on the beach. She's scrambling around, running for something. Where's Jem? Uh-oh. Probably got an idol. See ya, Jem.
Now we have to blindside her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a bold call. Going Jem.
I'm going Jem.
We've seen a lot of Jem from the Green Tribe, and that to me makes you think, are we seeing this because something's going to happen? So I'm with you on Jem as the most likely Green Tribe vote out.
It feels like it's Jem or Tim on Sega.
Yeah.
It will be one of those two, and then probably from Nami, it feels like the three most are Soda, I guess Tevin to some extent, but it doesn't really feel like him, or Venus. Feels like Soda or Venus to me between that
agree.
Tribe and the dynamics.
I would say Soda on that tribe.
Wow.
But, who knows? Who knows?
Okay. Let's
get
hear
your
from
votes
you.
In.
Yep. Get your votes in.
Yep.
Hopefully you filled out your March Madness brackets as well because that has locked by now. That is episode 4, our recap. Banu, he was kind, but he just wasn't cut out for this game of Survivor. Do you want to see him again? And did he win your heart? Those are questions I have for you, everybody joining us live on YouTube. And for the podcast listeners, tweet at us. At No Dunks Inc. with your answers. We will be back next week for episode 5. I was just thinking, am I here next week? But I am. So we'll have all three of us here in the Classic Factory. Hit the like button, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. That was a lot of fun. Thanks as always. We'll see you next week. And until then, the tribe has spoken.